It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. And thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured and valued. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting for this great team that I get to work with. And how are you this fine day, producer Steve?
Well, you know what tomorrow is, so you know how things are looking up. Not only is it Friday, but it's payday.
Oh, so it's a double great day for you, for sure.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we have, it seems like we just started this show on Monday. The days are peeling off so quickly because there's so much to do. I truly feel as we look at what's happening on the national level, what's happening here in the Colorado, the legislature, from public policy, the governor, that we clearly, this is our 1776 moment as far as preserving our American idea. We're in a battle of ideas. And it is important to engage in that, and that's why we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And remember, socialism, communism, Marxism, they're all so connected. They ultimately come down to force. And it's never compassionate to take other people's their rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or this silent thief that we have occurring now, and that is inflation. And socialism is not about free stuff. That's just the carrot to get you to vote for it. And so that's why this battle of ideas is so important that we engage in on a regular basis, producer Steve.
Well, regarding the newest addition to your list, inflation or Bidenflation, different sources that I follow basically saying that, you know, we're talking about it now and people are kind of going, is that real? The warning has gone up. Wait till the fall and then you will really see this kick in.
Oh, my. As if people are not hurting enough as it is. And we see such a stark contrast between the Trump administration and the Biden administration. And I'm kind of wondering, all these people that opine, oh, I don't like the way he talked, I wish he acted more presidential. Well, look what we have now. Your energy prices are up 50-60%. This onerous government wanting more and more control of your life. Maybe you didn't like his demeanor, but man, I sure liked his policies. And I have to tell you, there were things early on that I wish that Trump had not said, but as he moved into the presidency, if you actually listen to his speeches, they were underlying very presidential, and his policies clearly were good for everyday hardworking Americans. And so I think it's important that we continue to make you know that, because before this scamdemic, and COVID is real, but the reaction has been a big scam. This economy was humming along, and we did not see all this artificial things happening in our lives that we are now see that, you know, like this inflation, it's going to be a real, real problem. And also, Steve, I'm hearing of shortages in different places. It might be on product or it might be on fuel. And once again, that is a product of socialism, communism, and Marxism. When government gets involved in that, then you don't let the free market and real capitalism, not cronyism, but capitalism, occur, then you start to see, when government control gets in that, you start to see shortages, you start to see prices go up. When government gets involved, the supply goes down, the price goes up, and the quality also goes down.
You were just praying that people will start to, you know, wake up and ask questions why. And the most obvious is we've been watching it for the last 6 months, but the price of gas. Mm-hmm. If you were the type of individual who pulled into the gas station, you stuck the hose in the tank, and you turned, and you know, you started the flow of gasoline and went off and did something like clean your windows and whatever, and then you hear the pump or the hose click shut, and you walk back to the gas pump and you look at the price, and you realize it's $15, $20 more than it was 6 months ago.
Right.
There it is. It's right in your face.
And that's because of public policy. Joe Biden, one of the first things that he did was shut down the XL pipeline. And so I think it's really, really important. And people, I really think people are waking up to this, Steve, for sure. And so that we've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Patty Kergan here in the second segment. Again, we're really unpacking what this Initiative 25, it sounds good. It's called Initiative 25 LEAP, the Learning, Enrichment, and Academic Program Plan. But as we really delve into it, there's a lot more there, and you'll want to make sure that you listen in on that. And then Jay Davidson, he is always so great. He is the founder and CEO of First American State Bank. And we'll be talking about a variety of things, but this global tax that Biden is trying to get through as well. That's an important conversation. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. I want to go to our quote for today. And this is by Henry Hazlitt. And Henry Hazlitt was an American journalist who wrote about business and economics for such publications as The Wall Street Journal, The Nation, The American Mercury, Newsweek, and The New York Times. He was born in 1894 and he died in 1993. And this is what he said. He said, the whole gospel of Karl Marx can be summed up in a single sentence. Hate the man who is better off than you are. Never under any circumstances admit that his success may be due to his own efforts, to the productive contribution he has made to the whole community. Always attribute his success to the exploitation, the cheating, the more or less open robbery of others. Never under any circumstances admit that your own failure may be owing to your own weakness or that the failure of anyone else may be due to his own defects, his laziness, incompetence, improvidence, or stupidity. And again, that was Henry Hazlitt, born in 1894, died in 1993. I think as we look at these quotes, we see that every generation is looking at these ideas. It's not different. And in from one generation to another. And that's why it is so important that we, continue to watch this. So let's, Steve, do you want to weigh in at all on this this comment?
Well, in our little conversation we had before the show, the second I read this, my brain went right back to, I believe it was leading up to Obama's second term, the campaign. He was out and about doing, you know, what he does, being obnoxious, but he actually looked at a business owner in the face, in the eye, and said, you know, whatever it is that you've done, you didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And we all scratched our heads and said, where in the world did that come from? There's your answer right there.
Right there. Karl Marx. And that was with Joe the plumber that he said that. Yeah. And just a point on that, because Obama said that you didn't build that because it was because of government that had the roads that were going by your business. And put in the infrastructure, that's who built that. But let's think about it. The roads go by the very productive person and the very unproductive person the same. And so it's kind of what you do with those opportunities. And so when he looked at Joe the plumber on that, it was absolutely mind-boggling, Steve. But Patty Kergan is on the line with us, and you know her. She does the research for the Kim Munson Show. And before we get into that, both Patty and Steve wanted to make sure that we talked about this one particular headline, which is very interesting. But Patty, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thank you very much for having me.
And there is a very interesting headline. This was from the Colorado Sun. And it says the AFL-CIO is going to withhold donations to the Democrat campaign committees through May 2022, saying that unions have been excluded. And we need the Colorado Democrat Party to treat us like authentic partners, Colorado AFL-CIO Executive Director Dennis Doherty wrote in a letter to fellow labor leaders. And the Colorado branch of the AFL-CIO, and AFL-CIO is the nation's largest federation of unions, and it will not donate to Democrat legislative campaign committees until at least May 2022. So it looks like they want to play for sure for the November 2022 elections, but they want to send this big message to Colorado Democrat leaders. And as you go through this particular article by the Colorado Sun, it did catch some of these Colorado Democrat legislative politicians by surprise. So it is a very strong message that they're sending. Steve, I'm going to throw it over to you, quick like, for your comment on this.
Well, it makes it sound, the way it's written, you know, via the Sun, that there was some kind of a agreement before the fact that, you know, maybe the first Polis term, that things were going to go a certain way, and they're not going that way, because they're saying, flat out saying, we have been excluded. Mm-hmm. And now they're, you know, they're going to try to do their best to, you know, turn that around. And I have to laugh because, you know, you're thinking, what's coming? We're not going to give you a dime until, what, May of 2022? Well, things are already, you know, well in underway. And I don't know, they're sending up a big message here. I'm not sure if it's a good message or not, but they're sending a message.
Well, and the Democrats have always depended on unions. Unions ostensibly are for working people. And back when unions first started, I think that there probably was a need for that. But now they become big political animals. But even so, what has happened, we can see that Donald Trump has become the, and Trumpism maggot has actually been for the working people. And so I find this very interesting. One other headline just to mention to you is, if $1 million giveaway wasn't enough, now this is reported by KRDO, that Governor Polis is now, says anyone who gets the vaccine at specific sites in the coming days can get a free $100 Walmart gift card. And again, we realize that socialism is not about free stuff. Ultimately, there's the carrot, but then there will be, if they don't get the results they want, then they come in with the stick. And so let's go to break. Patty Kurgan is on the line. We're going to talk with her about some new things that she has uncovered regarding this learning, enrichment, and academic program plan. It's Initiative 25, very possibly going to be on the ballot this November. Sounds good, but let's hold the phone. You'll want to know more. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Patty Kurgan does the research for this show, among a whole bunch of other things that she does. But Patty, we want to talk more about this LEAP, Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Plan. It's Initiative 25. It's in the petition gathering phase right now. So if you see someone in front of your grocery store and they ask you to sign this just to get it on the ballot, we're recommending to decline to sign, because once it gets into that campaign phase, people tend to listen to sound bites. The sound bite on this baby, I think, is going to be, hey, we're going to raise, have a new marijuana tax, raise marijuana taxes for the children. And you can see how that's going to play out. And that is why it's important to get your brain around it. And this has already been very organized. And it just happened that somebody sent it over to you and said, hey, what do you think of this? And that's when you started to delve into it and brought it to my attention.
Correct. So for the listeners who might not know, that this LEAP program will run a parallel new government-run out-of-school program. It bypasses the voters, and then it replaces the voting power within an unelected bureaucratic authority. And one of the biggest negatives is that LEAP does not address the core problem that we have in education today, that our children are severely underperforming. And what I would like to do is piggyback on Steve's comment about there was an agreement before the fact. And I truly believe that that is what is happening with LEAP. As we look at some of the people that are involved and the money, where it's going, it's like, okay, something's going on here. So hopefully people have read the article that I wrote where it was leaping dot to dot and where do we land? Because it does explain some of the people that we already know that are involved in it.
And that's on my website, Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. So you have two op-eds there, and then my op-ed declined to sign on this as well. So be sure and read that. You've done so much research on it. It's so important.
Correct, because I want the listener to see where there's been a progression here. Going back to 2000, this is not something that they just thought of last year. There's been people that have been thinking about it since the early 2000, and it's been going step by step. And again, who's some of the players that we talked about are Tony Lewis, and he's from Reschool, and one of the people that can benefit financially, as well as for his organization, as well as Josh Penry. And just this week, I went into Tracer to see, okay, who really is backing this initiative in terms of money?
And what is Tracer, Patty? Explain that. And people can go and they can look at it. It's right there, right?
Correct. So you go to the Colorado Secretary of State website, and there will be a place where you can just put in who was paid. So I put in the 76 group because I knew that Josh Penry was getting some type of was being paid for his
work. And that's his that's his organization.
Correct. And this is all explained in my previous article that's on your website. And what I found was there's only two people that are contributing right now. This is through June 26. Somebody gave $20, but another $948,000, one company, was the contributor, and that's Gary Community Investments. The gentleman who started this company, he made all his money via oil exploration.
That's Sam Gary, and he passed on just recently. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And then Mike Johnston is the president and CEO. You might remember that he was a state senator from 2009 to 2017, representing Senate District 33, which is Northeast Denver. He was also a candidate for governor in 2018 and lost in the primary to Governor Polis. And he ran for U.S. Senate, but once Senator Hickenlooper stepped in, he withdrew himself. So the bulk of the money is coming from this organization. And on Tracer, it also explains where money has gone. Again, this is only through June 26. We will not see the money that came in this past Tuesday from the fundraiser. So far, though, for expenditures, the major entities that received money was Josh Penry's group for the 76 group for public. He's a public and government affairs firm, and for his consulting fees, he was paid $60,000. And then he has a Blitz consulting firm as well. And what they do is they go out, they collect signatures for ballot initiatives, and they knock on doors. And so far, through the 26th of June, he received $609,000.
So that's going for back the petition. That's for the petition gathering, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So there's a lot of money that's been paid to Josh. So I think we can stand on that, what we talked about last week, that there's a lot of money here to collect and for people. And the other interesting thing that I found really quick is that there's a lot of existing organizations right now, many of them nonprofit, that are doing exactly what MAPE wants to do. We've talked about Reschool. Turns out that there was a special organization put together, and it's called Rise Fund. It was with Governor Polis and the Gates Foundation, and it was to help the children who fell behind due to COVID. And there was $32.7 million put in that from the governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund. So you've got that going. There was another Gates special program last year, which Reschool was really one of the key players and was one of, especially here in Colorado, that particular program with Gates funding money was sent, the Colorado students were sent to Reschool. So I'm starting to see repetition on some of the people who are already involved in LEAP. So my question is, why don't you just let us know exactly what it is? What is behind the curtain? Because we do know, according to the initiative, that this is supposed to start in 2022, and that in the first 6 months, I'm talking January through June 2022, they're talking about providing $50 million in grants to LEAP providers. They must know who those providers are.
You think so? They think that they think it'll pass in 2022 or in 2021, and they're all ready to go. So, Patty, we've got just a minute to button this up, but you're going to be doing another op-ed that's going to connect these dots as well, right, Patty?
Correct. Because there's a lot of money here, and there's a lot of money that will be out in the future. And again, they're not addressing the key problem. The problem is that our children are underachieving, and we must work to reform the existing school system instead of building something brand new.
Right. And there's a lot of money involved, and it's one of those things, follow the money. And this is amazing what you have uncovered, Patty. And once again, we are seeing our kids are being indoctrinated in many of these schools. And now with LEAP, they can be indoctrinated after school as well. So that's kind of what I see happening. Patty Kurgan, thank you. Is that op-ed going to be ready for this newsletter, or is it going to be next week?
I'm hoping that I get it out for the Sunday newsletter.
Okay. So be sure and sign up for that. Patty Kurgan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Jay Davidson.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice out there as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Jay Davidson. He is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. He is the founder and CEO First American State Bank, which is a community bank located here in the metro area. And community banks have been the banks that have really financed our small businesses throughout our history in America, and given mom and pops the opportunity to go after their American dream. Jay Davidson, it's so great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Well, I want to talk with you about something. When I first saw this, the Biden administration trying to push for a global tax, I was absolutely astounded. And then you have written some comments in reference to a recent Wall Street Journal piece about Congress goes AWOL on global taxation. And you started this off with, you said that there's a common theme that runs through the lexicon of the left. What do you mean exactly by that, Jay Davidson?
I think if you boil down all of the actions that President Biden or Elizabeth Warren, AOC, Tlaib, any of those people, Bernie Sanders, want, the final end point of everything that they're going for and everything they're doing leads to more government, more central control, and eventually, in my opinion, tyranny.
I have not wanted to believe that, Jay, but as we've done this show, the conversations that you have and I've had, the things that I've learned, and we go to the World Economic Forum, the group that meets at Davos, many of the leaders of our corporations and our nonprofits and political, I don't want to say leaders, I want to say people that attend that, have actually kind of bought off on this. And when I saw that their plan for 2030, the Great Reset, is that we would have no private property, it seemed kind of like voodoo stuff to me. But now that I see the policies that have been being instituted through taxation, excessive taxation, I think is another form of theft, Jay.
Yeah, you said a lot there. The Great Reset is real, and I think we should take it seriously. But this isn't a new phenomenon. This has been around since Adam and Eve's, you know, or actually Cain and Abel got into their little battle. It's always here, and there's two entities in this world. One says the individual is sacrosanct, and freedom for the individual is the key issue. And the other one says, no, I think I know better than you, and I think I should control you. I should tell you what to do. I mean, that's black and white. It's a simple statement, and yet it's very profound. The Joseph Stalin attempted the very same thing that the Davos progressives are talking about right now, as Lenin before him. But the whole idea was control. Unfortunately, the communists wanted to control the whole world, and we had the Cold War and all the dangers associated therewith. Adolf Hitler. Some people think Stalin was leftist and Hitler was a right side guy. Who cares? They're both control freaks, and they're both wrong. So the issue is, it's a serious one, and you might think I'm wearing a tinfoil cap. Okay, I respect that. But looking at the evidence of what people are saying outright, and now the head of the Davos has admitted that there would be no property rights. You would not have right to ownership of private property. That is communism, pure and simple. And taxation is absolutely theft. And taxation will be the methodology by which a controlling, tyrannical government takes control of our individual lives. Now, I happen to be probably at the forefront of it because I see I'm in a highly regulated environment and I see what the government bureaucrats can do from a regulatory standpoint, but imagine what they can do from a taxation standpoint to the individual.
A couple of comments on that, Jay. It's not a tin hat if it's true.
Okay, I like that.
And when you talk about taxation, the little town that I live in is proposing a 55% increase in the city sales tax. They want to get it on the ballot this November. Now, they're spinning it like, oh, it's only a penny per dollar that you spend. But that is a penny that you won't have. But it is a 55% increase in the city sales tax. And so, therefore, I am wanting to educate people about that, because the city does it here, then you've got the Park and Rec District here, you've got the state of Colorado here, you've got the county here, you've got the federal government here, tax on your phone, tax on your car. And all of a sudden, there's not much left for you. And that is so antithetical to the American idea. That's why the founders wanted government to be limited. But and I wanted to make one other point before you answer that, is Nazi stands for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. So it's important to draw that dot, that you understand socialism, communism, Marxism, they all have the ultimate goal of control, Jay.
Well, for instance, your little tax in your city, we've been falling for that for ever. And yet nobody steps back like you're doing and say, how much have I really spent? How much have you charged me for the privilege of living in this city, or the privilege of living in this region or this district or this state or this nation? And I think if you were to add up all the taxes, all the fees, all the things that you pay to all the various government entities, most of you would probably find that you work 6 months out of the year for the federal government.
Or for government, and yeah.
For the government, yeah, thank mm-hmm. you. You're right. Well, I don't think I'm getting that much value, to be honest with you. And so we need to – all politics is local, right? I mean, it always is local. And something as innocuous as this, oh, it's only a penny tax, blossoms into, oh, it's only half of your annual income as a tax, or three-quarters, or 100%. So you're smart to be fighting this battle at this time, letting people make up their own mind, making them aware of the issue, rather than saying, you've got to, you know, beat this one down. You can do what you want, but just have the facts before you vote on it.
So. Well, and that's what we really work to do. And for the last few election cycles, we've done, Rick Turnquist jumped in this last time, a voter's guide on the issues. And we really worked to look at this from the idea of the American idea of limited government. Is this the proper role of government? And just explain to people what piece of legislation that's being referred to the ballot, or the initiative that's on there, to actually read the whole thing. And then look at it from, is this good for Americans? Is this keeping government where it's supposed to be? And then you may disagree, and that's okay, but we want people to have a tool instead of the sound bites that they get coming across their computer or the television. And that's why on this, I mean, I can already see the sound bites on this. In fact, I saw a news article out there. Another comment was, they haven't raised the tax since 1995. Well, it's kind of like, well, does that mean we have to raise the taxes? But the other thing they don't say is that the population has grown significantly, so the pie has gotten bigger. So they not only want the pie to get bigger, they want to tax that pie more.
Right. But their revenue has gone up.
Yes.
Because of the size and growth.
Exactly. So let's we have a few minutes in this segment. Let's continue on this piece in the Wall Street Journal about this global tax. Why don't we talk about the global tax, and then we'll go to language in the next segment.
Sure.
This global tax, from what I can see, is Biden wants to raise taxes here, and he does not want corporations to flee. They're rational economic entities, and they will go to a place where they pay less tax. That is why when President Trump was president, lowered the corporate income tax, you saw manufacturing come back here. But government policy has made American labor so expensive. Now they're going to tax more. And so to prevent corporations from leaving, they want everybody else to get in the game too.
And there's a more insidious aspect to this global tax policy that the collectivists are attempting to incorporate here. you have to step back a little bit and the talk about the capacity and the ability to tax. And what did the founding documents say about that? Because the entity that can tax you can control you. And they can control you in the most basic manner by taking 100% of your income. In other words, realizing the fact that, as the Davos guy said, you don't have any rights to property. So this is a systemic issue. This is a much more profound, foundational issue. When the nation gives up its sole ability, and in particular the Congress gives up its sole ability to tax, we have effectively negated the foundation of our nation. The reason is that the founders realized that if you're given the ability to tax other people, take other people's money and spend it in some other way for some other group, there will be corruption.
Yes.
You know, the politicians will tax you and tax you and tax you, and then they will spend it to get more votes on the other side, creating this negative feedback loop where they're always elected, they're always raising the taxes, always raising the fee on you. And the way that the founders overcame that was they said only Congress can enact taxation, only Congress of the United States of America, not the Congress of Europe or Russia or anybody else. And that Congress has to go before the people every 2 years. That individual has to be reelected every 2 years. Now, that's a big burden. I mean, that's a lot of work. But the other thing it does is it puts the guy that is taxing you as an individual in front of you so you can recall him or her as necessary. And that's a fundamental issue that the left is attacking when they do this grand theme about all these terrible corporations fleeing the high taxes that the Democrats want to put in place.
So what has happened then, Jay, is politicians, instead of wanting to come in and be answerable to the people, if they want to make decisions to get bigger and bigger government, they've pushed it over to these bureaucracies, to the administrative state, because then they don't have to really be responsible for that. They say, oh, that's them over there, although that bureaucracy may be doing their bidding, but then they don't have to really stand in front of the people and be answerable to that. And we've got to reclaim this portion of our founding where the people that are making decisions are accountable to us.
Yeah, the thing to which you refer is encapsulated in the Chevron deferral. And this was an act that Congress put in place in the 1980s that allowed the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, to effectively tax and enact laws against Chevron for an oil spill that Chevron had caused. Now, I don't mind punishing Chevron for making a stupid mistake. However, the effects of the Chevron deferral exist to this day and are growing in time, and that is the bureaucratic state, the non-elected bureaucrats who are always in Washington. They go through every administration. They survive right. They're like, I shouldn't say this, but anyway, they're like an animal you can't kill that crawls in your kitchen, okay? They don't die. They don't go away. They control what the dialogue is. And you're right. Congress has abdicated their sole responsibility. And that is another thing that has to be changed. And that was another thing that I liked about Trump. He put Gorsuch in there. And Justice Gorsuch has written papers on the very law that should be rescinded, the Chevron deferral. So, you know, there's some hope up here at the Supreme level, Supreme Court level, for some justification and readjustment here. But the bureaucratic state has one objective, and that is self-preservation, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, and we'll go to break out, I'll let you make a quick comment on this. There's been those out there that say that love of money is the root of all evil. But how does that go? Now I lost my thought on it. It's love of unearned income. Another person said love of unearned money is the root of all evil. Your comment on that?
I don't think money is the root of all evil. I think the way in which you approach it, it could be money, it could be power, it could be lust, you know, it could be greed, it could be any of the nine sins, the cardinal sins that make up Malebolge and the Dante Inferno series. It could be any of those. It's the way in which you approach this physical object. Money is physical. It exists here in this world. Well, you know what? You have a spiritual soul that's going to exist in another world, and that does exist in another world right now. Which one are you going to take heed of? And it's not just Jesus. It was Moses and Buddha and the Tao Te Ching and et cetera that talked to this very issue. The great Greek philosophers spoke about this. So it's not love of money. It's the attempt to use money to manipulate others, I think, is the great evil.
I agree with you on that. And then ultimately, power is, I think, that's really the thing.
The ultimate money.
Yeah, the ultimate money.
Money is for power.
Yep.
Money is a vehicle to obtain power.
Good point. I'm talking with Jay Davidson. He is the founder and CEO of First American State Bank. These conversations, I always learn so much. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show as well. It's a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And so whether or not you're a chef or a collector or a sportsman, you need that new knife or tool, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. If you're looking for a wedding gift, they have beautiful knife sets. So check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Jay Davidson.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who support our independent voice. We are the independent alternative to a lot of what's going on out there. We hope to help you get your brain around these issues. On the line with me is one of our great sponsors, and that is Jay Davidson with First American State Bank. He's a founder there, the CEO. And Jay, want to move over to this global taxation, as the Wall Street Journal titled this, Congress Goes AWOL on Global Taxation. And you made a really great point about that it is the U.S. Congress that has the power to tax U.S. citizens, not some other country. And so it's remarkable to me that Biden would even propose this. But this is all part of this great reset. And you had mentioned in your comments regarding this article that there's this common theme that runs through the lexicon of the left, the narrative of the left. And they use the same words. I sometimes wonder if there's like a 6 a.m. call. Today we're going to use this word. But you've gone through those words. And so let's go ahead. Let's go through that. The first one, you said it comes down to control and tyranny, but they don't use that. So the first word, equity.
Yeah, equity. Prager did a nice little thing about AOL and equity in her comments about equity. And it doesn't mean what you might think it means. What it means is that there are certain people that can do certain things, and some can do it better and some not as well. Well, that doesn't matter. What we need to do is we need to elevate and give preferential treatment to the people that can't do something as well as others. For instance, income inequality is the term they use, and to rectify it, they need income equality or equity. And what that means is they're going to take from those of you who are successful, who've worked your tails off all your life, have really applied the grindstone, been very honest, they're going to take your money and give it to another group. And that group will then, in their minds, be elevated, so they're going to start at the same level. Well, all this is an attempt to destroy the natural order of things. certain people work harder than other people. Certain people make better decisions than other people. This is the nature of life. And the left does not want to allow that thing to happen. And that thing that I'm talking about is really pure capitalism. If you work hard, if you're honest with people, if you're decent, if you're intelligent, if you're, you know, learning all the time, you'll do well in America because of capitalism. And you can do better in America than you can anywhere else in the world. But the left doesn't want that because capitalism, and capitalism, the idea that the individual has a right to property ownership. That's the bottom line of capitalism. Mm-hmm. It's the individual's right to ownership of property, of his life or her life, of material things that they amass, like money or a car or a house. That's theirs. And you have no right to take it away from them. But the left says, no, I do have that right because for whatever reason they want to use, you can name them off. They're all ridiculous. But the bottom line is that individual ownership supports the individual's freedom, the individual's ability to make a decision and live by that decision. And in order for the left to become the great collectivists, they have to take away that individual right. And that's what we mean by equity. It has nothing to do with equity. It's like saying Antifa is anti-fascist. Give me a break, people. They ought to be wearing brown shirts and breaking crystal.
Well, they're wearing black shirts and breaking businesses. So.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, and a friend of mine recently said, equity, what that means is we all get a saltine cracker, everybody.
Yeah. Or Churchill said the socialists love misery so much that they want to spread it around equally.
Yes, and that's what it is, equal in misery. And let's go to the next one, one world order. What does that mean?
This was a term from decades ago, and, you know, this is the Davos crowd again, the great elites, the guys that are so worried about climate change but fly their private jets to Switzerland for this meeting, et cetera. One world order is the ultimate collectivist attitude. It means, basically what it means is that there's a small elite group of us. We happen to be probably billionaires, ultra wealthy, and we're going to tell you what to do. We're going to control you. And it's the ultimate manifestation of communism or fascism or any of these control mechanisms that mankind has come up with.
Scary. Okay, entitlement.
Entitlement means that, once again, you don't have a right to what you earned. I, because I'm so bright and I'm such a progressive, moralistic person, have the right to take what you earned and give it to somebody who doesn't have what you have. It's a great equalizer. And so people are entitled to other people's hard work. Now, is that antithetic to America and to each individual in America and everybody, Democrat or Republican, listening to this? That is antithetic to how we believe things are. And it's antithetic to the whole idea of individual right to ownership of property.
Jay, so I had taken a class, and the instructor on this had said that, but what if, it was kind of like the question, is it okay to take somebody else's stuff? And everybody was like, no. But then the instructor said, but what if I have a really good reason? So I'm thinking like, oh, we see now homelessness or affordable housing,
right,
or climate change. What if I have a really good reason? And that really stopped me in my tracks, Jay.
Well, it's a really, the left, as much as I think they're evil and I despise them, are brilliant. They are masters of psychology, and you've got to give them their due. These people have been working for decades, centuries, trying to get to this point. And America's finally at the tipping point. We're seeing it right now, and they're outside there. They're blatant as all get out about what their intention is. And I say, people, look beyond the nice little platitude. The homeless, do I feel sorry for them? You bet I do. Do I think that everybody should contribute to their issue? Absolutely not. In fact, morally, I'm against entitling the homeless to live homelessly, simply because they made a choice that they don't want to work. or they made a choice. Now, you can argue that 1% or whatever that percent is, it's very low, are clinically not capable. I understand that. And those people, they need help. I get that. But not the 99.9% of people that are able-bodied and have made it, have chosen a lifestyle. So in order to for the Democrats, the left, to make themselves feel good and obtain votes from all of us who have a conscience, and we all do, they'll couch the terms in, oh, this poor person, I just want to help one person with this one entitlement. It's like the little tax that you're doing in your city, the 1 cent tax. It all adds up. And so this is a cumulative issue.
Well, it really is. And we had reported recently there's a tent community that I think it's Denver is putting in. And you look at the amount of money that is being spent on this, as well as the number of homeless people that they will be quote unquote helping, and it works out to about $3,700 a month for this tent city that they're putting together. The tents you can actually buy for $200, and so you doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out somebody's making a lot of money on this. And it's probably those politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties. Okay, let's go to the fourth lexicon that you have, and that is redistribution of wealth.
The whole idea is that, from the left, is that you obtained your wealth by stepping on the backs of the poor people. You obtained your wealth by taking advantage of other people. This is why the unions were formed. And back then, I can see why they were formed. There was a lot of abuse. I submit to you today that unions are relatively useless. They serve their master, the guy that runs the union, makes a lot of money, but the people that have joined the union, I'm not so sure they get such a good deal. So the whole concept is, again, the theme here is that I, the great leftist elite, know better than you. This is Karl Marx. I mean, he could say this stuff better than I ever could. He could say that I know better than you, and therefore we need to redistribute the wealth. And the lexicon point that they always make is the disparity between the entry-level worker and the CEO of a corporation. Now, you probably know which side I'm on, but the fact is that the disparity is irrelevant. The fact is that the CEO, because the shareholders have decided to reward him for certain action, is going to be paid more than the guy that is just entering the business. And the guy that just enters the business isn't going to stay at that level. It's his job to elevate himself to eventually become the CEO. Mm-hmm. And if there aren't redistribution impediments in the way of private business, and then the ability of the individual to excel at whatever he or she wants is enhanced. And I submit to you that in America, this capability to better yourselves, your friends, your family, the people around you, your customers, the people that use your services, is unequaled in the world. And everybody can talk about being a democracy, and I cringe when I hear that nonsense. You don't want a democracy, folks. Democracy is 51% of the people telling you what to do, which is what we have today. Democracy always devolves into mob rule, always. And forever. Look at Lord of the Flies. I mean, that's what a democracy is. Or as they say, it's two wolves and a sheep deciding who's for dinner. Well, friends, if you're wealthy because you worked your tail off, you're the sheep right now, unless you're stepping up, because you're going to be eaten. And they're going to take that money and redistribute your wealth. Once again, the left ignores the right to private ownership of property when they talk about redistribution.
Well, and that's why I'm going to shed light on this potential new tax for my community and explain to people what it really, really is. And I think that across the board, we don't need to be giving government and bureaucracies more and more money. We need to start to walk this back. Jay Davidson, it's always a great conversation. Your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
My final thought would be that we all kind of look at this whole thing, the government, it's so massive, it's so overpowering. They've got this, they've got that, they got all the guns and everything. But I submit to you that without any violence act whatsoever, you and we and I and us can make a major difference. We have the right of our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and our Bills of Right in our pocket. We need to exercise them. Need to understand the lexicon of the left. It's all good and well that they want to talk entitlements and helping poor people. And then my next question to them would be, well, how much good has your government program done? How many people have moved out of poverty because you're giving money to people that don't want to work? And how many people have moved out of poverty because they went and found a job because we have a capitalistic society? Think about that one before you start giving away your money.
Jay Davidson, always a great conversation. Thank you so much, and thank you for your partnership.
Thank you, Kim.
Our quote for today is from Henry Hazlitt. He says, practically all government attempts to redistribute wealth and income tend to smother productive incentives and lead towards general impoverishment. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you.